The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
One group for whom COVID-19 was very distressing, and it was distressing for all of us, but particularly distressing for people who are living with dementia and their families. For those living with the condition, it was a painful and a cruel experience, and the months of lockdown made it infinitely, infinitely worse. And in fact, it may have hastened the demise of many people. And we'll get to that in just a minute with Pat McLaughlin, who's the CEO of the Alzheimer's Society, who's on the line. But first, I want to talk to Denise Monaghan, who is a full-time carer for her dad, who has Alzheimer's. Denise, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me a little bit about your dad. What was your dad? What did he do?
My dad is brilliant. He really is. He worked since he was 17 in the hospitality sector. So he would have been in the Doyle Hotel Group. And it so suited his personality because dad is a very sociable, affable man. People are just naturally drawn to him. He's very friendly and he's a great sense of humour. And I can just imagine, you know, if you were lucky enough to have worked with him, you must have had some fantastic days in the hotel business. And I think what's happened to him is extremely cruel. But there you go. We can't choose, I suppose, the onslaught of Alzheimer's. But a very, very sociable man.
Well, and I suppose that's what makes Alzheimer's more tragic when it takes away a lot of that, that which would have been his character, and you're left with the Alzheimer's version of your father, if I can call it that way. Tell me what lockdown meant for you and the impact it had on your dad.
Well, it was very rapid. It was like the children coming out of school. One day they were in school, the next day they weren't. It was exactly the same for dad. One day he was in day centre, the next day he wasn't. And then for weeks and weeks he wasn't. And then we realised there's actually no talk, there's no roadmap. When is he going back? When can we get back to what was normal? I know there'll be a new normal, you know, but what is the new normal going to be for dad? And that just seems to be kicked further and further down the road. And so although the term cocooning, I did like it at the start. I thought it was like wrapping them in a blanket of safety. I think that just stretched on a little bit too long. And for dad, by the time the over 70s were allowed to go out after the, I think it was the Maybank holiday weekend, sure, the habits had set in. And he didn't want to go out, and he didn't understand why he needed to go out, and therefore he didn't. I think when people have Alzheimer's, they go into a set of habits or routines that become embedded, and they're very difficult to break back out again. And that's what we're trying to do with dad, is break him back out into these, you know, putting on your shoes and coming out for a walk. He doesn't do that.
Yeah, it's stressful enough, Denise, when you're watching someone you love fade like that and their mind not working in the way that it always did. And you have to park that frustration because it's a pointless exercise getting frustrated over something which you cannot change.
And he manages that very, very well. You know, he's very brave. I would say that about him. He's very, very brave.
Yeah, but at the same time, it would have made life very difficult for you. And it probably brought about differences in your dad. Not wanting to go out is one thing, but did you fear that it was accelerating what was happening to him?
Not really. I can't say I did. I just see that he spends so much time in the house now. He doesn't know a lot of people now by name. We're relying a little bit on photographs, you know, and that's the difficult one, is we're resorting to photographs for people that dad well knew up to a while ago. So that part is gone. That social, that putting faces and names seems to be removing itself, you know, far quicker than we would have liked. And he's I don't know how he does it. He's got a very, very long day with nothing to do. You know, he doesn't have hobbies. If he did the garden, that'd be great, but he doesn't. You know, so it's a very, very long day to get up at 8 o'clock and maybe go to bed at 10 with very little to mark down that day.
Has he forgotten some of the people who can't visit him? So, you know, he would have had a wider social group, but because of the cocooning, did those memories, did he lose them?
Yes, he did. And I'll sit and we'll explain to him, do you know, this is this certain person and you used to go and visit her, and he'd say, yeah, but you wonder, is he getting it? You know, is there anything there that he knows this person? Does he know who I'm talking about? Sometimes he does. Sometimes the photograph works and sometimes it doesn't. And then we park it because you can't labour that. You only upset yourself and you only upset, you know, him, and then you park it. You choose your battles, you know.
Pat McLaughlin, if I can turn to you, CEO of the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, that's a very common story, I'd imagine, that you've been hearing over time. What impact did you find in this study of COVID on people living with dementia?
Thanks, Jonathan. It is exactly what we found. The experiences there that Denise is talking about. We carried out a study in April and people had expressed the fears that is exactly what would happen, that there would be an increase in responsive behaviours, that people's physical and mental health would decline. And unfortunately, the second survey which we carried out has confirmed all of that, and that's both the experience of carers and persons with dementia themselves. And it's that feeling of, you know, they're watching people with dementia who have increased agitation. They're wandering more, they're more confused, they're more withdrawn. And, you know, carers are a very resilient group. And certainly it's the first study that I've seen since I've been with the Society nearly 4 years, where you see terms coming through like devastation, tortuous, exhausting, depression, depressing, incredibly stressful. So carers tend to make do. We find that, in fact, we would have great difficulty sometimes getting carers to just say that they are taking risks with their own life and letting their own health suffer. But that is the nature of carers. And even when they're worrying about whether they'll catch COVID-19 themselves, they're more worrying about whether they'll be able to care for the person with dementia who's living with them.
And this research found that many people are concerned that there was a more severe deterioration in people with dementia during lockdown for the reasons we were talking to Denise about. You're not interacting as much with people. You're not going out. You're almost retreating into the dementia bubble, which, let's face it, is probably the worst thing you could do in normal circumstance.
It's absolutely the worst thing that they could do, and it's something that we constantly say to people: go for a diagnosis, stay within your family, your friends, all of the connections which you have, make sure that you use those and stay as normal as possible for as long as possible. But this absolutely came out of the blue. We tried to maintain our day services as long as we possibly could, and we did up until the 15th or 16th of March, but then we got a directive to close. So it came as an absolute shock to people. We knew it would happen, but from the point of view of risk and the benefit, we said we would wait for the public health guidance. So from the 17th of March, we've been closed for our day services, and the only face-to-face contact that people have would have been with our home carers. And we know from previous studies, and indeed you referenced what it was like before COVID, only half of the carers that we had surveyed previously were getting any home help, and people who were the other half were only getting an average of 1 hour a week. So you can see what it was like. So, you know, things like even securing PPE, where we heard from a lot of organisations that they had difficulty. You know, this survey showed that 20% of carers had difficulty accessing PPE themselves because they had no network. They were looking after somebody themselves without any support. So it paints a very difficult picture, and I suppose we're at the stage now that we have to say, well, what can we do about it?
But can I stop you there for a second? We saw plane after plane after plane coming in from China with PPE on board. Now, I know they're building a stockpile, but are you saying that the services you want to restore you can't do because you don't have the PPE, and that the carers who need the PPE still can't access it, and we're 4.5 months into the crisis?
Well, I think we'd be able to deal with the PPE issue now. The supply line seemed to be opened up, but they're reflecting the difficulties that they had when COVID was announced and when the restrictions came Now, they're a group we haven't heard previously had difficulty accessing PPE. We heard about nursing homes, hospitals, organisations like ourselves, and we were competing with each other. So we would be happy with the PPE at the moment, and assuming that we don't have second waves, and we're absolutely reliant on the HSE supply chain if there was second wave. But I suppose at this stage we're looking to see what can we do about it, and we feel that the consequences of lockdown, which are real for carers and persons with dementia, will have to be considered by public health officials against the risk of opening up face-to-face contact.
Yeah, Denise, and you obviously want to protect your dad, Seamus, you want to protect yourself, you want to protect everybody. I think that's the natural instinct of everyone right now. But do you think lockdown did more harm than good to him?
Yes. Yes, without a doubt. But it went on far too long.
And what would you have preferred? What would you have been comfortable with? Knowing now what we do, hindsight being a great thing, but if we are preparing for the next time this may surge in our community, what did you miss that you could have got that you didn't?
I would have liked to have seen him to go to Rose Cottage maybe 2 days a week.
That's something the respite centre.
Yes, that's his day centre where he goes from the bus collects him 9:45 and drops him back about 1:40. And I would have liked to have seen that even two mornings a week would have been great, because that would have kept him in that momentum, kept him in that routine, connected to his peer group. That's who those people are down there, you know. And I would have loved to have seen that for 2 days, if they could have even staggered how many people come, and would have gladly changed the day he goes in. You know, if it was even a rotating day, wouldn't have mattered. But I just really think it went on. Telling people over 70 who are vulnerable like that to stay at home, yes, sounded grand on paper, but it actually did an awful lot of emotional and social damage, I think.
And look, we lost people with dementia to COVID as well, and their
That's
path
the
was
hand.
Often yeah. different as well. So it was a very difficult balance to strike. Denise, can I talk about you for a second? You're a full-time carer. Looking after your dad sounds like it is the most important thing in the world to you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here talking to me. What has all this done to you, your life, your friends, your interactions with others? I mean, what's the last 4 months been like for you?
You're going to laugh, because I've actually really enjoyed it. It's been an absolute privilege to be able to help my dad and to be there for him in the mornings when he's struggling to get dressed, when he's struggling to make his breakfast, whatever, all those things. My philosophy, Jonathan, is that when I was growing up, I wanted for nothing. My dad worked really, really hard to make sure seven of us had what we wanted. And now it's payback. And I can do that for dad. And I do feel very privileged that I'm able to do that, that I stepped back from my job in March and said, you know what, this time is precious. Somebody has to mind both of them. Somebody has to manage them and look after their day and make sure they have what they need. And that's what I do. That's exactly what I do. I do for them what both of them would have done for me all those years when I needed it and I couldn't do it. I can do it now and they can't.
Very, look, it's a difficult situation, Denise, and I know your mum was sick as well. So, you know, is there light at the end of the tunnel for you? I mean, there with dementia, sadly, there isn't. But do you think your life is going to get a little bit better now we are where we are in our journey?
Absolutely, because I'm just waiting for the call now to say we're going back to Rose Cottage. You know, that has to come. I don't think that's not going to come. That has got to come. I'm hoping that the people are listening today who have the power to make that happen in whatever shape or form. As I say, a couple of days a week would be great. And I'm just hoping that today and the research findings and the media coverage reach the right people and allow for these services, very, very vital services, to slowly, slowly begin to reopen. We all have to take the first step in what is the new normal. So I think the services should be allowed to open and let them work it out. What's the best going forward? What's the best thing to do?
Pat McLaughlin, last word on this to you. Look, Denise has a very positive outlook, and there's so many carers that I have met over the years who share that outlook, and I look at them and go, good God, I have no idea how you do that, because I wouldn't be able to do that in the circumstances you find yourself in. But the survey did show that a lot of people are struggling. 75% of respondents with dementia concerned about a decline in their mental health. 61% of family carers were concerned about their own mental health as well. You know, and now, there's no such thing as exclusivity in a crisis that affects everybody, but there are worrying findings here. What's the most important thing you in the Alzheimer's Society want to achieve right now?
What we'd like to achieve is a date that we can actually begin to restore our face-to-face services, and especially services like daycare, because it would mean that people are getting 6 to 10 hours, maybe a week, of a service that would be therapeutically benefited to them, whereas at present Denise and other carers are looking after somebody 24/7, and believe me, it is 24/7, because people do need care at night. You made one interesting point there about the number of people maybe who had passed away. It's interesting that data from the UK would show that dementia is the main underlying condition for 1 in 4 COVID deaths. We're not even collecting that in Ireland. So there's a hidden number of deaths from dementia in Ireland. So we need to get real, classify this as a chronic disease. We're living with this since 1906. There hasn't been a cure, but we need care, and we need to make sure that the current government put in place a plan to implement the National Dementia Strategy.
Sorry, just to clarify that, so the British, for all of the failures that they have in categorising what happened during COVID-19, they are associating dementia as one of the causes of death, and we're not doing that here.
That's exactly right, and we've made that point now to the expert group that was established and to the Dáil COVID Committee, and we're hoping that when those groups take a look at the situation, that they will actually make recommendations that needs to change, because if you're not measuring it, you're not managing it.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that. Pat McLaughlin, CEO of the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland, and Denise Monaghan, who's a full-time carer for her dad, Seamus Cunningham, who is living with Alzheimer's. One text from Trish who says, Jonathan, Denise is a wonderfully positive person and her father is much loved. I do hope he can return to Rose Cottage. And so say all of us.